When the world lacks a leader, there are terrible consequences.
And I believe this downward trend of support for Israel in America is a canary in the coal mine for America's future, both politically and prophetically. And I think all of this is a significant sign of the nearness of the rapture.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with our Understanding the Times conference speaker, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Pastor Mark Henry is also in studio. The world may be spinning out of control, but God remains in control. So how does what is happening line up with the Bible? We conclude that the stage is just further being set for the last act of the church age. Here is today's programming.
We look at our world today, and if you just look at this world just from the horizontal perspective, it looks like this world's out of control. You could literally wonder, is anybody in charge of what's happening? But when we read the Bible, we understand that God has a plan and that God is orchestrating that plan. And we see today in our world how the stage is being set for that plan. Israel's back in their land. Almost half the Jews in the world live in Israel now. 1948, they became a modern nation. Only 6% of the Jews in the world lived in Israel in that time. This is a major stage-setting event. We see the globalism that we see. We see Russia and Iran rising to world power just at the time that we would expect that, according to the prophecies in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that Gog-Magog prophecy. We see a clamoring and a yearning for peace in the Middle East. What does the Bible tell us how their tribulation starts? The Antichrist makes this treaty, some kind of a peace treaty with Israel. So when we look at our world today, it makes sense of the world we live in, and it causes us to believe that God has what's happening in our world under control. It's not just some crazy out of control scenario. We can lay our head on the pillow at night and believe that God is sovereign and that he has a plan that he's working out. And if I didn't have that confidence, I don't know what I would be thinking, but I'd be totally without hope.
Glad you didn't join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. And we do have a one-night event coming up on Thursday, June the 6th, that I'm so pleased to have as our guest that night, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, whose voice you just heard. He's going to join me in just moments. And my co-host that night, Pastor Mark Henry, is also in studio with me. And I think you know by now that you can attend in person here in suburban Minneapolis or live stream the event on Thursday, June 6th, 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll also post it post-program various places. Now, you heard in that clip that question, is anybody in charge? The short answer to that is no. Our White House isn't in charge of global events, although it tries to interfere in them all the time. Currently, this White House is bullying Israel daily, even hourly. There's no European leader at this time, or if you try to pretend they are, such as Emmanuel Macron. And even in his better days, Pope Francis tried to be in charge, pushing an eco-friendly agenda and a one-world government. Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping think they're in charge, but I think they are fools on the world stage as well. So the Bible tells us that a Mr. Fix-It will be in charge someday, the Antichrist, the Lawless One, the Son of Perdition, many, many titles. We'll talk about much of this and play some sound bites. I hope that will complement the hour. Dr. Mark Hitchcock is pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he and I have worked together for many, many years now, and he believes that the next major event on our stage will be the rapture of the church, and it could happen today. And there are a dozen primary stage-setting events happening even as we speak. We're going to talk about a few of those anyway. Also in studio, Pastor Mark Henry and his co-host of these events. And we'll give information on Pastor Mark Henry's churches and the times, etc. Gentlemen, welcome both to Understanding the Times. And you're both Marks, so I have a challenge this afternoon.
Good to be with you, Jan.
It's always great to be with you, Jan.
Mark Hitchcock. So pleased to be able to feature you this particular hour and looking forward to our time together. But I follow you very, very diligently, the various videos and updates that you're producing. Mark, you put out a statement. This would have been 3 months ago now. I played the clip on my programming back then. We even played it at Understanding the Times. And you called what we're going through right now the most dangerous time in history. Can you elaborate on that for a few moments? Why do you feel specifically that our times are so dangerous right now?
There's a lot of reasons for that, a lot of factors. One would simply be, you think about the nuclear weapons that are in our world today. There was a leader in Iran just this week that says, an Iranian lawmaker that says Iran possesses nuclear weapons. Their official position as a country is that they don't have them yet. But yeah. This is a very bold statement. You have Iran either has nuclear weapons or they're right at the nuclear threshold. They're the world's number one sponsor of terror. They have an apocalyptic view of the end times that they believe they have to create chaos and turmoil for their Mahdi or their Messiah to come. Those are not people you want to have their hands on nuclear weapons. They have all these proxies that they could get weapons to, dirty bombs to. You have North Korea with Kim Jong-un leading that nation. They have nuclear weapons. They're doing more testing than they've ever done before. There's a lot of fear. I've read there'd be a dirty bomb that could be set off in Tel Aviv at some point in time. Just the proliferation of nuclear weapons in our world today, the rapid means of travel, the globalism that we see, economies can collapse quickly. We've seen with the pandemics how they spread so quickly with the immediate global travel. Just on really every front that you look at, I'm not saying this to try to scare people or try to make people afraid. The Bible prophecy is given to give us hope. But just looking at it from a worldly perspective, our world today, on almost every front you can think of, the world's leaderless. In every way, it's a more dangerous world than it's ever been before.
Mark Henry, Mark Hitchcock just said a lot that registered with me, and he closed his comments by saying we don't have a leader, which is pretty obvious. I think when the world lacks a leader, that's when everything goes out of control, and that's when the stage gets set for people to say, I demand a leader, I'm looking for that leader, and then when he comes on the scene, they literally bow down and worship him.
It doesn't matter what sector of life you look in, when there's a vacuum of leadership, it always creates a crisis, and that crisis always compels people, say, who's going to lead? And we're seeing that on all fronts. All across the country, throughout Europe, people are saying, we need a leader. The Middle East crisis, people are crying. We need someone to rise to the occasion and lead. And so I think this is all just the setup for the Antichrist.
And ultimately, that makes our election this fall, and this is not a political statement at all, but all that more intriguing because there are huge stakes involved, correct?
Absolutely. The peace that America has brought over the last, since World War II, is all being destabilized. A weak America destabilizes the world. But Jan, when I trusted Christ in the 80s, I read through the Bible. America is not mentioned there in Bible prophecy, at least from what I can see. And it's like, well, how's America going to be neutralized? How could the economy be destroyed? We're watching it all unfold right before our eyes.
Mark Hitchcock, you also put out a video, which was very intriguing. And we've all been captivated in a horrible way watching the sentiment on campuses across America, for that matter, demonstrations in every major capital of the world, anti-Semitic type demonstrations. And your little presentation, will the wave of anti-Semitism trigger the rapture? And you conclude, yes, but please tell my audience why.
Well, it kind of piggybacks on what Mark just mentioned, that America is not mentioned in the end times in Bible prophecy. We're not mentioned, obviously, we're not mentioned specifically the USA or America. And I don't think there's even veiled or symbolic references. If we were the great superpower we are today, we'd be mentioned somehow, I believe, in Scripture. We're not. It's a total silence about America. I think at the rapture probably will be the final judgment of America when all the salt and light's extracted out of our nation. But you look at America, one of the reasons America has been great and been supported by God is because of our support for Israel. We're the number one supporter of Israel in the world today, militarily, financially, every way you can think of. It seems to me America will have to remain somewhat strong before the rapture. Mm-hmm. Because if we didn't support Israel, we're not strong enough to support Israel. Humanly speaking, it's difficult to see how Israel could continue to be a nation. So it seems to me up until the rapture that we will be a fairly strong nation militarily, politically, being able to help support Israel. And what we see today in our country is more and more of the younger generation turning against Israel. So it just makes sense to me over the next 20 to 30 years, it's very easy to see how our country could be totally against Israel with what we see on college campuses today. Just the tsunami of anti-Semitism. And I realize not all young people are, not everyone in college is anti-Semitic, but there's a real wave that's happening. And all the statistics bear this out, that all the younger generations are much more pro-Palestinian. In fact, it's staggering, the numbers. So it just makes sense to me that if America is going to become more and more anti-Israel as time goes along and the older generations die off, that that's an indication to me that the rapture must take place before America becomes a nation that's totally against Israel, which is the trajectory we're rapidly on.
if, in fact, some person stepped forward. Now, this is after watching almost 7 months of conflict in the Middle East, terrible things going on over there. I think if someone came along right now and said, I have the answer, I can stop all of this. I'm talking about mainly, we've got other conflicts. We've got Ukraine being blown off the map. Terrible ordeal going on there. I want to just play this clip and then come back and talk about how we apply it to what we're talking about.
During that period of time, an individual is going to begin to come on the scene that we know as the Antichrist, the Beast, the Son of Perdition, the Man of Lawlessness. There's a lot of different aliases, but it's this final Antichrist figure, a global dictator or world ruler is going to come on the scene. And in the event that's going to start this seven-year time of tribulation on the earth, this Antichrist is going to rise, I think, from a reunited Roman Empire. Maybe the embryonic form of that could be the EU. He's going to come on the scene and make some kind of a treaty with Israel that's going to allow them to sacrifice and inhabit and practice in a third temple that's going to be rebuilt there in the city of Jerusalem. So he's going to make some kind of treaty with them. And you know, what we've seen like in the Abraham Accords and some of the other peace movements over there in the Middle East could be the precursors to that. Obviously, this war that's going on over there now has put a lot of that on hold. But I think even out of this war that we see now, people are going to demand that Israel and these neighbors hammer out some kind of peace that's going to allow them to live in some kind of a harmony with one another. So you know, they're going to have this peace treaty. Then that's going to be followed by this seven-year time of tribulation. Terrible time. It's in Revelation 6 through 18. There's going to be a series of judgments, the seals, trumpet judgments, bowl judgments. A terrible time with the earth, the Antichrist, the last half of that, he's going to rule the world with a global kingdom. And again, we see in our world today with a cashless society, with a surveillance society, all the technology that's out there, we see how someone could do that.
Mark Hitchcock, my understanding would be that this man with a plan, he's probably an unassuming person right now, doesn't have a flashy title. He might even be in the background. Would I be right?
Yeah, I take it that way. He's going to rise as a little horn.
Right.
The first time the Antichrist, I think, is mentioned in the Bible specifically is Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, called a little horn. Mm-hmm. You have these other 10 horns, I think, are 10 rulers or leaders out of the reunited Roman Empire. And then it says a little horn comes up among them. So he's insignificant in beginning. That's why when people today look at our world and they try to find some important leader and they say that person's the Antichrist, that we can know that that person's not the Antichrist. I believe he's waiting in the wings somewhere, but he won't be revealed until after the rapture. So he would be an insignificant person somewhere in our world today who will be catapulted to world power. You can look at Adolf Hitler as a type of this or a pattern, an insignificant person in the world, but came just to unbelievable power through demonic energizing and through the ability to give mesmerizing speeches. So I believe he's an insignificant person today. When the rapture takes place, he's going to come on the world scene and he's going to be a person totally energized and dwelled by Satan. And he's going to be that final world ruler, the final great anti-Semite as well, who's going to carry out Satan's plan.
Mark Henry, let's just throw into the mix, China invades Taiwan and we have more bloodshed, God forbid. But say that happens, I'd maintain the world is going to be crying for someone to stop all the carnage. If you're going to have three active wars, and everybody says it's inevitable, it's going to happen, the China-Taiwan.
I think it's inevitable that's going to happen. And why? Because there's always agendas for evil. And bad guys are always looking for opportunities. And right now, you got a weak America. We got America tied up in Europe. We got America tied up in the Middle East. If I was China, I would be making that move. And again, it's just going to show the weakness in America at this point. I don't even like saying that. It grieves my heart.
I know.
But the reality is we're having a hard time making our own weapons because we've outsourced everything to China. That puts Israel in a bad spot. It puts us in a bad spot. It puts the world in a bad spot.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell have on the line from Oklahoma, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He is pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can learn more at endtimes.com, endtimes.com. And we're going to be carrying his newest book. It's AI and the Antichrist. We don't have it yet, but we'll have it in a few weeks. And I'll ask Mark Hitchcock about that. Also in studio with me is Pastor Mark Henry, and Pastor Mark Henry is leading two churches, Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, suburb of Minneapolis, at 412 Church in San Jacinto, California. By the way, the reason we're featuring particularly Dr. Hitchcock this hour is because he is our next guest at Understanding the Times, Thursday, June the 6th. Again, that'll be at Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Mark, the address of that is?
7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
Time is going to be 7 to 9 p.m. That's Central Time, Central Time, and you can live stream it. You can do it all sorts of ways. The easiest way is to live stream at MarkHenryMinistries.com, MarkHenryMinistries.com. And Mark, we've been live streaming to dozens and dozens of countries every presentation, I think.
Yeah, Jan, we've gone actually into 71 different countries.
Okay, 71 different countries.
God's done an amazing thing.
It's the bright side of the beast system.
Absolutely. Mm. We're thankful for that.
So again, no cost to either attend or to live stream. No reservation needed. I'd like to go in just a little bit different direction, Mark and Mark, and I want to talk a little bit about the decline. Say, in the interest of some church leaders, I maintain that people in the pews are clamoring to hear what's going on in the world, and in some cases, it's being withheld for a dozen reasons. Mark Hitchcock, I want to just play a little clip. It's of you on a panel. You're talking about why we should not be minimizing this particular topic.
Well, there are going to be those within broader Christianity, Dr. Hitchcock, as you know, who will minimize the importance of studying the end times or studying eschatology. How would you reply to such a person?
Well, 28% of the Bible is prophecy at the time the Bible was written. A lot of that's been fulfilled already. Just the sheer volume of material in the Bible that's prophetic should cause people to want to study Bible prophecy and understand it. Now, think about it. We claim to be believers in Christ. We love the Bible. But if we discount or disregard 28% of the Bible, how effective can we really be? And how many gaps are there going to be in what we really understand about Scripture? I remember years ago, I had the privilege to meet many, many times with Dr. John Walvoord. He was at Dallas Seminary at the time. Great man of God, great teacher and preacher of Bible prophecy. And I asked him one time, I said, Dr. Walvoord, why do you love prophecy? And he said, Mark, I love prophecy because I love the Bible. He said, if 28% of the Bible is prophecy when it was written, then if you love the Bible, you're going to love prophecy. So just the sheer amount of material in the Bible about prophecy should cause us to want to study it and understand it, because really you're not going to understand the Bible if you don't understand prophecy. Another really important reason is Bible prophecy proves the truth of the Bible. There's all these sacred books out there, and you know, people say, well, this book is from God, this book's from God. Really, the signature of God on the Scriptures is that the Bible tells the future many, many times with 100% accuracy. No other book in the world does that.
Mark Hitchcock, I appreciate your being blunt and honest with everybody in that little presentation. And yet, as you know, many churches will shy away from this for a dozen reasons. We can't get into all of that this hour. But on the other hand, I have two pastors with me today, Pastor Mark Hitchcock and Pastor Mark Henry, and you both are open about this, that this is a message that you love and you share as often as you can, and that God has blessed both your churches. Mark Hitchcock, help us understand why every pastor might not want to do this.
I think out there today in churches, there's really not much doctrinal or biblical preaching on any topic. So eschatology or Bible prophecy is something that's terribly neglected. But you think about topics of theology in general. I think most of what's being preached today is just practical, everyday living for people in their lives, just kind of practical advice. Again, I preached a passage, sure. Go through Colossians. I'm going through that at our church. There's a passage about husbands and wives and children. So you talk about that as you come to it. All of that's important. But if you preach through the Bible with any degree of systematic going through Scripture, the coming of Christ is mentioned over 300 times in 260 chapters in the New Testament. So it's just a pervasive topic. But I think people don't do it just because they don't really teach the Bible or prophecy at all. I think also it is a topic you have to really bear down and study, because there's a lot of dots to connect in Scripture. And I think a lot of people just don't want to do that. I think it's like a lot of other topics. It is controversial a bit. There are different views. You know, there's people that are amillennial and premillennial. And there's different views about the timing of the rapture. So a lot of preachers won't talk about a lot of things. The doctrine of eternal security, or people who are saved, once saved, always saved. They just don't want to get into any kind of things that are controversial doctrinally, because it might upset people. But I think we can always present different views and say, look, here's what people believe. Here's what I believe. Here's why I believe it. There are people that go to the church I pastor that don't believe what I believe about the end times.
Interesting.
But they appreciate that I talk about it and anchor it in the Bible, and they value that.
Mark Henry, your thoughts on this?
Number one, I would say to every pastor out there, prophecy is practical. It gives us the right view of God and about the future and our destiny. And I would say it's even so practical, you're preaching through the Scriptures. Philippians 4, for example, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. That is a prophetic statement right in the middle of conflict in a church. and how they were supposed to capture the peace of God, and the urgency is the fact that Jesus could come at any time. And Jan, if I may, there are four things I would say to every pastor. You should preach on prophecy. One, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, 28% of the Bible's prophecy. Number two, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, 28%. We're commanded as pastors to preach the word of God, 28% of it being prophecy. So I would just exhort the pastors, don't buy into the lies. It is hard work, but there's great joy found in it and great blessing.
Anything you want to add, Mark Hitchcock?
I'll just highlight what he said about the practicality of prophecy. Every main passage in the New Testament on prophecy ends with some type of practical application. Mm-hmm. The end of 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, comfort one another with these words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after talking about the rapture, he says, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Over in 1 John chapter 3, it says, you know, everyone that fixes his hope on him purifies himself, even as he himself is pure. It's a comforting, calming, cleansing, purifying hope that we have. And there's really few things that are more practical. And I do believe that people in our world today are really hungry to know about the future, about what the Bible says. They're fearful about what's happening. They're filled with anxiety. And the Bible has answers about where this world is headed and how we live in the meantime. I like to put it like this. We're looking for the end times, but we're living in the meantime.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us about both. It tells us about what's going to happen in the end time and how we live in the meantime as we await that. And there's a few things more important for people to know today than those two things.
Amen to people having needs today. We have a prayer wall on our website, olivetreeviews.org. And my goodness, the needs and the heartaches being poured out. All of you can access the prayer wall. You can post requests there, folks, and you can even see how many people are responding to your prayer requests. Mark Henry, you wanted to reply.
Jenny, think about pastors not talking on prophecy. People aren't interested in that. Really? Why are people turning to the occult? Why are they going to seances? Why are they going to witches?
Supernatural.
We're looking for answers, and it's found in the Bible. For heaven's sakes, let's get back to the Bible. The answers are there.
Well, they're going to all the wrong sources looking for those answers, including fortune tellers.
But the tragedy is the church has the answer. It has the book. It has the Holy Spirit. We've got the answers. Let's open it up.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts here before we move on? By the way, I'm going to follow this up. I think I'll wait until part two of my programming, but the attack on dispensationalism and pre-trib, that's part of the mix too. And you put all that together, the apathy, the indifference, and then the attacks, something that's very, very important. And Mark Hitchcock, as you say, and Mark Henry, you as well, it's one third of our Bible. Let's just not be kicking it into the gutter, folks, or even just ignoring it. You can't ignore any book. You pick up any book that you would care to cite today and ignore one third of it. Doesn't work very well. Mark Hitchcock, your thoughts?
Pastors have to preach it if they want to be faithful to God's word.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And again, it's not a matter of even do people want to hear about it. I think they do. But our ultimate motivation should be that we want to glorify God and honor him and preach his word. And we want to preach the full counsel of God. This is a major part of God's full counsel. And it's a part of scripture that ultimately gives us hope. And people need hope today. They need hope more than they've ever needed it before.
More than ever before.
It's a message of hope. That's our message that we have.
Jan, when Daniel was looking for hope, he read the book of Jeremiah. He discovered there that God had spoken through Jeremiah that Israel would be in captivity for 70 years, and then they would go back. He found hope by reading the scriptures. It was necessary for his day. It's necessary for our day.
Amen. Dr. Mark Hitchcock, you apprised me of an article. This was actually a month ago, but it's so relevant even to the minute we're speaking here. And I think what we'll do is we'll pick up on this in a couple of minutes here. But the title of the article, it's in Time Magazine, April 11th, 2024, A $1 Million Middle East Peace Plan. In it, the author is calling for, get this, folks, an imposed peace plan because the global stakes are too high. I want to talk about that because, again, this leaps out of the Bible. Well, you have to know what's in the Bible and what the Bible's saying about our time to be able to catch that the editors of Time Magazine, at least this author, gets it that, you know what, we need a Middle East peace plan imposed on Israel, which in a sense is what the Biden administration is trying to do, except they're going even further than that and refusing ammunition, refusing intelligence even. So it's a very, very serious offense. We'll talk more about that in just a moment or two. Again, Dr. Mark Hitchcock is our guest, Understanding the Times, Thursday evening, June 6th. You can come on out to Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. You can live stream it, MarkHenryMinistries.com, June 6th, 7 p.m. Central Time. They can also go to the Mark Henry Ministries app, Mark, Roku, Apple, some things that are a little over my head, but talk to us about it.
Correct, Jan. If people will download the Mark Henry Ministry app, you'll be able to watch it on all of your smart devices and Roku and so forth.
No cost, no reservation needed. And again, we live stream these to the world, and I'm told, Mark, we're actually reaching dozens and dozens of countries. Again, that is the good side of technology. I'm coming back, folks, in just a minute or two, so don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We want you to discover one of the most fascinating books of the Bible, the Book of Daniel. And that is why we are offering the new book, Discovering Daniel. The author is Amir Sarfati, Israeli Bible teacher. The book also has an optional study guide. Using the same deep but easy-to-understand style found in his bestseller, Revealing Revelation, the author reveals how Daniel's prophecies and his unwavering faith amid a contentious culture provide vital insights for living out these last days with hope and wisdom. Discovering Daniel reveals how the words, actions, and visions of the prophet Daniel can provide you with purpose and hope in today's chaotic world. 2,500 years of future history unfolded exactly the way God said it would, demonstrating how all things are in His hands. Find the book and study guide in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
The technology today that we see, it's increasing exponentially, and the Antichrist will use it to the maximum that we've ever seen as he's energized by Satan. And we haven't seen anything yet of world control like he's going to have when he comes on the scene. It's going to be an iron grip over the whole world.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell, Mark Henry, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock to wrap up today's programming.
Well, obviously there's disagreement about this, but the sequence of events. I think when it comes to Bible prophecy, if you have people who believe the Bible, who are Christians, who believe the Word of God, we agree on a lot of the basic events. But the issue is the timing or the sequence of those events. That's really the key issue, really, in eschatology or prophecy. In many ways, kind of the differences people have are about timing or sequence. The view that I hold to is that the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Again, there's others who disagree with that, and we're not mad at people that don't hold our view of the same sequence. But we have to come up with some sequence that we believe best represents what Scripture teaches. And so I believe the next event on the prophetic calendar is what's called the rapture of the church. And at the rapture, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What's going to happen is those who've died, believers who've died, their bodies are going to be resurrected, rejoined with their perfected spirit. Those who are alive on the earth when the rapture takes place are going to be caught up to be with Christ in a moment of time. We're going to be transformed body, soul, and spirit in an instant of time. And so believers in Jesus Christ are going to be caught up or taken up to heaven. Now, the purpose of the rapture is to end this church age, to end this current age we live in called the era of the church. But another purpose for the rapture will be to deliver believers in this age, the bride of Christ, from the coming time of tribulation, a time of terrible trouble and destruction and God's wrath being poured out on the earth for 7 years during a time we know as the tribulation. So following the rapture, there'll be really what I call kind of a time of further preparation. So we live today in what's called the church age. And what I would say in the time we live today, the stage is being set. All the players are kind of moving into place. The global stage is being set for the end times.
Glad you can join me again, Understanding the Times Radio. I have on the line from Oklahoma, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Learn more at endtimes.com. He pastors Faith Bible Church, Edmond, Oklahoma. Been there over 30 years. In studio, Pastor Mark Henry from Revived Church Brooklyn Park, 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. Mark Henry, you go back and forth and back. I've heard of pastors having a church on the other end of town. You have one on the other end of the country, and you are busy.
Yeah, we're busy. You know, God's really blessing, Jan. We've got two campuses, one here in the Midwest. And if you're in the Midwest, join us. If you're out on the West Coast, join us there at 412 Church.
Times of your services, Mark, in Brooklyn Park would be Saturday. What time?
4 p.m. and then Sunday at 8 and 9:30 and 11 a.m.
At 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. is traditional music. Fantastic. And in California?
8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Pacific time. Mark Hitchcock, the times of your services are?
8:15, 9:30, and 11. So three morning services. Just one location right now at our church. We're getting ready to probably build on again.
Are you?
Yes.
Wonderful news. Mark Hitchcock will be our guest Thursday evening, June the 6th, for Understanding the Times, our early summer session. Coming up August 1st will be Michelle Bachman. And then into October, we do have something planned. We'll tell you more about that as time goes on. But I referenced the Time magazine article a few weeks ago now, $1 million Middle East peace plan. The author calls for an imposed peace, Israel and her enemies, because the author says the global stakes are too high. Mark Hitchcock, you made me aware of this article. Obviously, it was written in the fury of the war in Israel with her Arab neighbors, a justified war to be sure. But tell me why you signaled me to look it up, which I did some weeks ago now.
It's a stunning article in light of Bible prophecy. The writer in this article has got to wait for there to be peace over there between Israel and the surrounding nations. A couple of quotes from this article. It says, "This conflict is so dangerous that the time has come for the international community to impose a solution. Here's what needs to be done. First, a six-month ceasefire needs to be imposed, whereby Hamas releases all the hostages and Israel amnesties hundreds of long-term Palestinian prisoners. Second, and simultaneously convene a Geneva peace conference, invite all the parties to a one-month time-limited negotiation," which they iron out these comprehensive details, and goes on to say, you go back to the 1967 borders, East Jerusalem's a capital of a demilitarized Palestinian state. And it said, it is a brilliant document, simple and obvious. So you bring everybody together. It's a take it or leave it deal. It's imposed. And Daniel 9:27 is the event, I believe, that begins the seven-year tribulation period. And it says, he, referring there back to the prince who's to come, the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant, or some translations say will confirm a covenant. You can also translate that Hebrew word, a compelled covenant, for a period of 7 years. So it's going to be a firm or a compelled covenant for a period of 7 years. That's exactly what this author is proposing. You're going to come along and impose a peace upon the two parties. And it's interesting, he says it will happen in Geneva, which obviously is in Europe. And I believe the Antichrist will come from a reunited Roman Empire, which was centered in Europe. So all of the parts of what Daniel 9:27 refers to are in this peace plan being proposed by this author. And I think that's the kind of thing that probably will be seized upon someday to try to bring an end to this controversy that's been going on now for thousands of years, but for 76 years now since the modern state of Israel exists. So it's just interesting that someone would come up with something, a scenario that's that similar to what the Bible predicts.
Mark Henry, your thoughts on this?
I was really taken back by the article because it really does lay out exactly what we'd anticipate. And if you think of America being removed from the stage as being a world power, think about the rapture taking place, how that would cripple the United States.
Yes.
and then the world imposing on Israel. Why? Because Israel's dependent, quite honestly, on our arms deals with them right now. Praise God we're able to do that. Shame on Biden for withholding arms. But nonetheless, you take America out of the scene, and this imposement that he's presenting here in Time magazine, it's pretty amazing.
I am troubled big time, gentlemen, by what the current administration is doing to Israel. I think we have to talk about it at least for a few minutes anyway, because they're even withholding intelligence. Apparently, our White House or State Department anyway even knows where these Hamas terrorists are, the ones that are left, and is not even giving Israel that information. And I do think that has terrible consequences. Let me just play a clip. All of us know our good friend Bill Koenig. He's my most frequent conference guest going back to 2002. He and I were just reminiscing about that by email here in the last 3-4 days, because he's got such a grip on what's happening between Washington and Jerusalem, and he's been documenting for a couple of decades in his book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, what happens when we do exactly what we're doing now.
U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken was in Israel May 1st and 2nd to apply pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to agree to a ceasefire agreement with Hamas and also to end the war. Netanyahu said he will not commit to ending the war, that Israel is committed to dealing with the 4 remaining battalions that are in Rafah. At the same time, the Biden administration also stopped the transfer of important ammunition and weapons needed for Israel. At the time of Blinken's visit and pressure in Israel, massive rains began in Houston, Texas. Over 4 days, 20 inches of rain fell. This was a massive rain producer. On August of 2017, another massive flood hit Houston when Jared Kushner, White House Middle East envoy, was having meetings throughout the Middle East on the future Trump-Kushner two-state plan. In June of 2001, CIA Director George Tenet was in Israel negotiating a ceasefire agreement with the Palestinians when Tropical Storm Allison inundated with massive floods in Houston. The Biden administration has been applying significant pressure on Israel and specifically Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to agree to a ceasefire agreement with Hamas and also commit to not going into Rafah. April of this year, we saw 300 tornadoes. This is the second largest tornado outbreak in the month of April in history. This was at the very time pressure was being applied on Israel, and also arms that were very important to Israel have also arm transfer has been delayed as well. In April of 2011, the Obama administration was also applying a significant pressure on Israel when we had 757 tornadoes. U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, called Israeli communities illegitimate. The same thing Secretary of State Hillary Clinton stated the same thing in an ABC interview. And also the White House National Security spokesperson also said that the new homes that are being approved in Samaria were also illegitimate. And we saw a record amount of tornadoes in the month of April.
Mark Hitchcock and Mark Henry, I get the distinct feeling that the current left in Washington and maybe all over the world is cheering for Hamas. Do you get that impression, Mark Hitchcock?
I certainly do. It's tragic what we see taking place. The only way to really explain it, it's beyond any human reasoning. I think it's the ultimate origin of the anti-Semitism in the world, the anti-Zionism, the hatred of the Jewish people, the modern state of Israel is satanic. Satan's the one who wants the Jewish people destroyed more than anyone else. He's the ultimate anti-Semite. The Antichrist, when he comes along, will be his proxy to carry that out. And so we see a satanic, demonic energizing in our world today against Israel, unlike anything we've seen since the rebirth of the modern state of Israel in 1948, which again is exactly what we should be expecting if the coming of Christ is drawing near.
So Mark Henry, the administration has basically said, we don't like your Prime Minister Netanyahu. You can't defeat Hamas. You have to lose. We're not going to stop the various demonstrations going on various campuses. they don't go to Qatar and say, you've got to cut off the funding of all of this. They're basically telling Jewish people whether they can live or die. This is so serious, I have no words for it. I know you feel the same.
It's tragic, Jan, but when you have a world that can no longer determine right from wrong, mm-hmm. and they don't understand that there is evil in the world, and Dr. Hitchcock is absolutely right. There's a spiritual influence in the background. And that's why when you try and make sense out of it, everyone says, Jan, I can't figure this out. The reason you can't, sin always does the exact opposite of what sound reason, what sound logic, what sound wisdom would tell us to do or not to do. Imagine someone breaking into your house and trying to kill you and your family, and people standing on the outside saying, you need to negotiate with the people inside your house and have peace with them. That's insane. But sin does that to us. It clouds our vision.
Some are saying this is all over the Muslim vote. This is why those on the left are behaving this way. I would question that. I think there's some truth to that. What about the Jewish vote? Isn't that far more substantial than the Muslim vote? I just think the sentiment today in the world is cheering for Hamas. And again, Mark Henry, we go back to in the last days, evil will wax worse and worse. Evil is going to be called good. Right now, Hamas is being called good. All over the world, I see that happening. These terrorists, arch terrorists, are being celebrated. I can't figure it out other than the spiritual dimension.
Jesus said it well. Men love darkness rather than light. Jesus came to his own received him not. Whenever God is doing something, Satan's doing the exact opposite. Yeah. God has a future for Israel. Satan wants to destroy Israel. So we should actually anticipate that. To quote my good friend Jan Markell, what did you expect in the last days?
Total chaos, to be honest. Mark Hitchcock, I want to say a word because you have a new book coming out. I don't want our time to get away. And Mark Henry, you have an updated book. The Man Code has been updated by Harvest House in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, and go to the online store. And Mark Hitchcock's forthcoming book will be in the online store, AI and the Antichrist. Mark Hitchcock, why should my listeners care one whit about artificial intelligence? I have my reasons why we should, and I think we got to get up to speed on it, but tell us why.
The Antichrist is coming on the world scene in the future, and we've talked about this treaty that he's going to impose upon Israel and the parties surrounding them. He's going to be a leader who's going to rule the world. The last half of the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist is going to have a one-world religious system, a one-world economy, and a one-world political system. He's going to dominate and rule the world, and you have to have the tools of world domination to do that. And the tools of world domination exist today and are increasing with great frequency. And many of those have to do with technology. Let me just read a paragraph here from the book really quickly. I think summarizes it.
Yes.
It says the development of surveillance technology and data tracking methods in recent years has laid the groundwork for the pervasive oversight that will occur during the Antichrist rule. Global satellites, 5G and soon 6G networks, the Internet of Things, drones, roadside scanners, biometrics databases, and advanced artificial intelligence systems will enable comprehensive monitoring of all individuals across the globe. Every transaction will be observed. All communications will be retrieved and analyzed. It may become impossible to travel, purchase anything, access healthcare, or even pray privately without government knowledge and consent. The Antichrist will build on present trends to create an omnipresent police surveillance state regulated through his mark of allegiance. All of this is being enabled through technology, and artificial intelligence, just like the internet and other things, in the right hands and used in the right ways, is an incredible tool, but it's going to be used by the Antichrist and leveraged by him for nefarious purposes. And I think today we have no idea, just scratching the surface, of what will take place. I'll mention this: in Israel, in the war with Hamas, they've been using AI in warfare. They're using something called Lavender. And it's located 37,000 of their attacks of missiles that have been there have been generated by AI telling them where to do this. It's also of great military value. AI is, it's going to be used in all kinds of ways in our world. And we can be certain the Antichrist will implement all of these means. The technology today that we see, it's increasing exponentially, and the Antichrist will use it to the maximum that we've ever seen as he's energized by Satan. And we haven't seen anything yet of world control like he's going to have when he comes on the scene. It's going to be an iron grip over the whole world.
Mark Henry, I have a hard time deciding whether or not artificial intelligence is a blessing or a curse. And I'm sure it's being used for some constructive ways as well as evil, but it is overwhelming. The potential for it to, quite frankly, manage the Antichrist kingdom from beginning to end. Everything he does or implements will be AI.
Jen, you know, you think about AI technology used in a good way. I mean, if you're having an x-ray, it can read your x-ray because it has a database of millions of x-rays. It actually does it better than a human. But AI technology right now is being implemented in all of the airports here in the United States. So when you show up at the airport, it captures your face and tracks every single movement you make through the whole airport. So they know when you come in and when you leave. Well, just imagine that on a global scale. And it's going to give Satan the opportunity to mimic Jesus with omniscience and omnipresence.
Yeah, it demands to be worshipped. Some forms of it, Microsoft forms of AI demanding to be worshipped. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. I have on the line from Oklahoma, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He will be with us Thursday evening, June the 6th, 7 p.m. Central Time. You can live stream markhenryministries.com. Oh, come out and join us if you're able to. We have many coming from neighboring states. Again, that's Thursday evening, June the 6th, 7 p.m. Central Time. No cost, no reservation, no registration. Just show up. Doors open up at 6 p.m. And we'll post it to the various platforms post-program. And we offer a DVD as well. We have DVDs of every presentation starting from 3 years ago. And the live stream reaches into dozens and dozens of nations. So we're thankful that many of you listening actually do tune in. Very, very grateful for that. Now, gentlemen, I'm changing streams a little bit here in the few minutes that we have left, and I want to kick off the next, six, 7 minutes anyway, with a little soundbite. It happens to be the so-called Bible Answer Man, Hank Canegraph, and again, the theology that the three of us hold quite dear is under attack, and the fact that the various belief system within dispensational theology is laughed at by many, but I want you to hear it in this little one-minute clip about the horrors of Armageddon. All that's needed in this clip is some spooky music and maybe the appearance of Frankenstein, and it would be even more appropriate. And again, you can see everything that we're talking about, including all these clips, folks, if you just access the video version of this program on my website on Rumble and YouTube.
And remember, for 1900 years of church history, no one had any concept of a pre-tribulational rapture that the dispensationalists today claim is so clearly taught in the scripture. So think about that. That ought to really be an alarm bell. 1900 years of church history, no one had any concept of this whatsoever. So this is a brand new concept. And I've often said, the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true, but it does mean that we ought to examine it carefully. And this is not the stuff of ivory tower debates either. Ideas have consequences, and the consequences of the Darbian dogma play out in the cauldron of real life. Just as Darwin's subjective spin on science led to the nightmare of eugenics, Darby's subjective spin on the Bible leads inexorably towards a nightmarish ending. In previous generations, dispensationalists were content to be mere spectators to unfolding events. But today's brand is bent on ensuring that the horrors of Armageddon become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Gee, I'm getting kind of scared. We need a drum roll and some spooky music. Mark Hitchcock, Darby, according to Hank Canegraph, leads to something as dangerous and as spooky as Darwin. I never knew that.
This is really sad because I debated Hank Canegraph in 2007 on the dating of the book of Revelation. And I had a conversation with him. He brought up the Darby. This was in 2007. So this is a long time ago. I told him at that time about William Watson's works. I gave him many pre-trib rapture statements before the 1830s. So he knows better than what he's saying because I've given him these statements. So what he's saying, he's either being dishonest about that because he knows better, or he just won't go look it up on his own. But this is a really easy straw man argument to bring out against pre-trib rapture that Darby started in 1830. I'll read some quotes here in a minute to show how incorrect that is. There's hundreds of them.
Please do.
But the other thing of him saying that we're trying to bring all these things to pass or this chilling future, to me, he's giving us a lot more credit to have a lot more power than we have. As if we're somehow shaping world events to make these things happen. I don't believe I have that kind of power. So I think he's crediting a lot more power to us than we have. Let me read a few of these pre-trib statements. This is Ephraim the Syrian. He was born in 306 AD, died in 373. This is the 4th century AD, which interestingly, Ephraim the Syrian was an amillennialist. took a lot of prophecies non-literally. So this makes what he says even more striking. Let me read you a few statements he makes. So it's not just one or two. He says, the elect will be gathered prior to the tribulation, so they shall not see the confusion and the great tribulation coming upon the unrighteous world. That's one of his statements. He says later on that the holy and the just are chosen. They're gathered into the harbor of life that they would not see the tribulation. He goes on in another place to make even more a dramatic statement. He says that let us pray that we might be delivered from the tribulation, which is about to come upon the earth, that he might not see it at all, nor the beast himself, nor even any of its terrors. And so there's many, many more of these. There's actually a book by a man named Lee Brainerd.
Yeah.
It's called Recent Pre-Trib Findings in the Early Church Fathers. So that's what I'm reading from here. And he's got quotes from Eusebius, Irenaeus, who's in the second century AD, pre-trib rapture statements. But going forward several centuries later, there's a man named William Watson. He wrote a great book. Again, I told Hank Hanegraaff in person about these writings. There was a book called Dispensationalism Before Darby. He's done all kinds of reading in the 16 and 1700s, 100 to 200 years before Darby. He's found 10 uses of the word rapture in reference to Christ's coming and 6 clear references to people being left behind. The people are going to be left behind whenever the Lord comes. One of the more striking ones is Morgan Edwards, who was the founder of Brown University. It's an Ivy League school. 100 years before Darby, he said that the dead saints will be raised and the living changed at Christ's appearing in the air. This will be about 3.5 years before the millennium. Now, people would say, well, that makes him a mid-tribulationist. Well, Morgan Edwards believed the tribulation was just 3.5 years.
Okay.
So his statement's pre-trib because that's how long he thought the tribulation would last. But says, as we'll see hereafter, but they will abide in the air in one of those many mansions in the Father's house. So they will disappear during the foresaid period of time. The design of this retreat and disappearance will be to judge the risen and changed saints, for now is the time that judgment must begin at the household of God. So we're going to disappear from this period of time, be caught up to heaven. So when Darby came along, he didn't come up with these statements. In fact, he himself has made the statement that when he was at school in Dublin, that apocalypse was in the air.
Okay.
He had several teachers there that taught him things similar to this. So again, I've got Brainerd's book here. You've got William Watson's book. There's another man named Francis Gumerlach. He's actually a preterist who doesn't like the pre-trib rapture at all. And he's found many, many pre-trib rapture statements that I could cite as well. So he's no friend of pre-tribulationism, but he's just being honest and showing these statements. This is the one argument against pre-tribulationism that's the worst argument you can use because you can disprove this historically. It's verifiably false. Yet Michael Brown, he wrote a book sometime back called Not Afraid of the Antichrist. 6 times in the book, they refer to all of this beginning with Darby. And this whole idea needs to be dispelled.
Yes.
Because again, it's just not historically accurate. If people don't want to believe in pre-trib rapture, certainly that's their prerogative. But don't use inaccurate historical information to support that view.
Mark Henry, your thoughts?
Mark, you were trained as a lawyer, and you're absolutely right. This would not hold up in court because we can prove that. But Jan, I always jump back to telling people, look, it doesn't matter what people have taught in history. It matters what the Word of God says. That's what we got to go back to. And all of these passages that we're describing here with the rapture and other prophetic revelations, we just need to be mindful that when they are given, the people of that day often couldn't put it together. In fact, it even says that the prophets long to understand these things. And we're uniquely living in the last days where we have a real Russia, we have the Persian Empire, we have the Turks, we have the AI technology, all of these things coming together, the banking issues, the global currency issues. This is incomprehensible 100 years ago or even 50 years ago.
You're right.
Trust the Bible, teach the Bible, you can trust God.
You want to communicate with my guests, you can do so at endtimes.com. You reach Mark Hitchcock there. You can talk to Mark Henry at markhenryministries.com. Again, we will be offering Mark Hitchcock's newest book, AI and the Antichrist. It is not ready yet, so give us another couple of weeks at least. Then you can look at my online store. Mark Henry's updated Man Code is currently in my online store. Mark, 30 seconds on the book.
Jan, we talked about all these things, and the question is, what are we going to do? We need to be good and godly men and women in this generation. That's really what the Man Code's about, 12 essential things, 12 priorities every man should know. We're just so thankful for how God is using it in people's life and preparing them to live in a crooked and perverse generation awaiting Jesus' coming.
Mark Hitchcock, we are looking so forward to seeing you. This will be Thursday evening, June the 6th, here in the Twin Cities. Again, you can live stream markhenryministries.com. Any parting word? I literally am down to about 30 seconds, Mark Hitchcock.
Just looking forward to being there with you all on June 6th. It's going to be a great time together, so encourage people to come if they're in that area to join us live stream. But also just always mention, if you're listening to us today and you've never put your faith in Christ and trusted him, that's what you need to do. He died in your place. He rose again from the dead. Trust in Jesus to be your Savior, and you'll have the greatest hope in all the world in spite of all the things that are happening today. So look to him to be your Savior.
Thank you, Mark, so much. And Mark Henry, thank you as well. Just remember that whether a church or denomination wants to talk about it or not, Jesus is coming again. If the Bible says it, we can count on it. And if we believe that is true, you need to ask, am I ready to meet the King? Is my heart prepared? Have I named Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And if you have, then I will meet you in eternity, perhaps very, very soon. I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God has you here for such a time as this. He has you on assignment. Be assured that nothing happens without His permission, as He orchestrates all things to fall into place.